Thank you, Maggie.
I want to say this about Dr. Straub. He's a wonderful friend. We're blessed to have he and his family with us here in Berean. He served many, many years on the mission field, a church planter, pastor, a church historian, teacher, writer. You wear many hats, brother. And
none
we
of them well.
None of them well. Well, we thank God for your faithfulness through the years to the Word of God, and you've been a blessing to students that have been under you and church members that have sat under your ministry. And we are thankful for the privilege we have to have you here tonight and for these next couple of weeks as well, as you give to us lessons on Paul's co-workers. And so, Brother Cub, come on up and share with us what God has laid upon your heart.
Thank you, Carrie. I only have 33 weeks to go to finish up on this series. Turn with me, if you would, please, in your Bible to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16.
I forgot my glasses today, so I'm going to... One thing that's nice about... that's all right. One thing that's nice about preaching from my iPad is that I can always make the text larger so I can see what we're doing here. But Acts chapter 16, I'd like to begin reading at verse number 1 and read the first section down to verse 5. Paul came also to Derbe. Now, this is Paul's second missionary journey. Paul has separated from Barnabas. We talked about Barnabas last week. He came also to Derbe and to Lystra. These are two cities that Paul had visited during his first journey. And a disciple there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. One of the issues that was going on when Paul came back to Jerusalem is this conflict, this challenge between reaching Jews and Gentiles. Timothy, who comes from a family where his mother's Jewish and his father is a Greek, hasn't been circumcised, which is not a problem for the Greeks, but it's going to present a problem for Paul's Jewish audience. And if we were to have time, you're just going to have to take my word for this or ask Carrie to do a study on this. This is beyond the purview of what we're doing. In the book of Acts, Paul goes to synagogues first to get a hearing for the gospel. But if he takes Timothy into these places, the son of a Jewish woman, uncircumcised, it's going to present a problem. And so he has Timothy circumcised to make him more useful in Paul's itinerant ministry. And as they went on their way, verse 4, through the cities, they delivered to them the observances, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were at Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Last week, we looked at Barnabas, who is not the first guy we necessarily think of among Paul's companions because they had a bit of a falling out over John Mark. We tend to think of Timothy in part because Timothy is the more well-known to us because he's got two books in the New Testament named after him. We don't have, well, I mentioned last week there's the Gospel of Barnabas and the Epistle of Barnabas and the Acts of Barnabas, but those are pseudepigraphical writings, people who attach Barnabas' name to their writings with the hope of passing them off as authoritative writings. But Barnabas, far as we know, left us no record, unless he wrote the book of Hebrews, which I rather doubt. Far as we know, there's nothing in the New Testament from Barnabas. For that matter, there's nothing in the New Testament from Timothy, but Timothy is the namesake of two of the major New Testament epistles. Who is this man Timothy, and what is his significance in the life of Paul? And then what can we learn from his life? Well, I got to thinking about what we could learn from his life, and I simply don't have enough time to draw out all of the lessons that might be useful from the life of Timothy. But I'm going to draw out one important one, given the age of our assembly here tonight. Most of us are well past the oven temperature of being done. We're past prime. Maybe Barry is the lone exception. I don't know, John, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, stab a guess at anybody's age. I'm pretty sure Dave isn't. And if Dave isn't, then Dale wouldn't be. And I know Don isn't. Good night. Don is like he's ancient. And Carrie is older than dirt. But that's all right, because there's a very important lesson from the life of Timothy that applies to many of us here tonight. And I want to come to that at the end of our study. So as we begin considering Timothy, this man that I will call the second most prominent man in Paul's entourage, maybe the most prominent man in terms of how Paul addresses him. Let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for your word and for the opportunity we have to study it tonight. Thank you for these faithful people who are here on Wednesday night to study your word. Lord, I pray you'd bless our conversation and bless our time. May what we say tonight be biblical and be encouraging. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about who Timothy is. I read the introduction to Timothy insofar as the New Testament is concerned. We first meet him early in Paul's second missionary journey. He's gone to Cyprus with Barnabas, touched Iconium and Lystra, comes back to Jerusalem. They have the Jerusalem Council of Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas go their separate ways. And Paul, in Acts 16, connects at Lystra with a young man named Timothy, a disciple. We know that he is a believer. Now, Paul is later going to call Timothy my beloved son. And so the question is, did Paul lead Timothy to the Lord, or did he disciple him? And I think it's probably the latter. I'm going to make the case that Timothy actually is evangelized because he's called a disciple here. Why does Paul call him his son or his child? Because Paul takes him under his wing. And Paul mentors him. But I think it's going to be pretty clear, which I don't want to get to the end of my study tonight, but is really the main point that I want us to meditate on tonight. Paul recognizes in Timothy a man who is saved and ready to serve. He's a disciple. Now, a disciple is a follower, is one who is a learner. Where did Timothy get this instruction? Well, we know that Timothy is converted through the influence of his mother and grandmother. There are several grandparents here tonight, and my wife intended to be here with Joshua, and then Joshua had a need, and so they couldn't come. That's the reason why I was just almost late tonight, Pastor, is because of I was waiting to see if Joshua and Rebecca could come. There are several grandparents here, and as we meet Timothy, we recognize in Timothy the influence of a godly heritage. Now, I can't speak for any other grandmother here except my wife. But my wife puts a lot of effort into trying to influence our grandchildren for the Lord Jesus. She's talking to them over not Skype, but FaceTime, and first one thing, then another, almost every day. She's communicating with them. She's encouraging them. She's challenging them with Scripture. She is investing them, and she prays for them. That's the kind of heritage that Timothy had. His grandmother, look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We're going to go toward the end of Paul's writing to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And we read this. Come on now. I don't have my glasses. That might be 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 5, not 15. 2 Timothy 5. 1:5. I got a 1 and a 5. I just added a 2 into it. Notice what it says here. For this reason, Paul is writing to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I can't see the text here. I don't have my glasses on. Let me start at the beginning of the paragraph. I thank my God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayer, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded, here we are, I am reminded. Now I can't see where I'm at. I forgot my glasses, Pastor, I'm sorry. I am reminded of your sincere faith. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. One of the most important things we have to do as grandparents is pass on our heritage to our grandchildren. I know Carrie and Ann do that with their grandchildren. Jordan and Ben and Kaylee and I forget the other, Lucas, and the others that are down in Iowa. I know that's a significant thing to do. To pass on our knowledge of Christ. Where is your grandmother? I thought she was going to be here tonight. I was going to preach to her tonight. I had the joy of meeting Caleb's grandmother on Sunday. She told me she was going to be here tonight. So I thought, well, good, I'll preach to her tonight too. Passing on Christianity, not just to the next generation, but to the following generation. Somebody has said, don't judge a man by his children, judge a man by his grandchildren. Now, I want to be careful lest I put too much burden on grandparents that somehow if their children don't walk obediently, somehow it's their fault. Because our grandchildren have to decide for themselves whether they're going to follow the Lord. And parents can do everything they can do, but they cannot change the will of a child. Now, I understand there are things that the Bible has given us to try to help shape the will. But only God can ultimately reach the heart of a child. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Timothy was known by his mother and his grandmother. And what a godly heritage he had. Well, this is, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. So let's go backwards in Timothy's life just a little bit and pick up some of the pieces. We know that he's from Lystra. Paul evangelized Lystra, this city in southern Asia Minor that was along one of the Roman roads of the day. Paul evangelized there in Acts 14 and may well have reached Lois and Eunice there on his first missionary journey. By the time Paul comes back in Acts 16 to revisit Lystra, Timothy is a believer and he is ready to join Paul's band. He comes from a blended family. Can I make this observation, especially for parents who may have an unsaved partner? The way this is written, there's no indication that Timothy's father was a believer. And while it may be easier to disciple your children if both parents are Christians, it can be done when only one parent knows the Lord. Don't let an unbelieving partner keep you from doing what's right. Timothy became a believer because of his mother and his grandmother. And I happened to be married to a woman who had a very godly grandmother and a very godly mother. You may have met my mother-in-law, my wife's grandmother, Grandma Reagan. I lived in her home for a while when I worked at her church, and I would hear her talking to herself, but she was praying for her grandchildren. Grandma Reagan was a woman of strong faith, and her mother, Rebecca's mother, is a woman of strong faith. And so consequently, I married a woman who learned, in fact, my father-in-law who is a believer now and may have been a believer younger. There's a long history there that I'll not go into. My wife is largely following the Lord because of her heritage. And at the time when my wife was making formative decisions, her dad was away from the Lord. I'm thankful for the godly heritage that my wife has. He was nurtured in the scripture. He was given positive examples. We find out from Acts that he has a non-hypocritical faith. He is willing to be circumcised, which if you think what that entails, it's hard enough on an infant a few days old. It's really serious on an adult man. And yet Timothy was willing to be circumcised. Paul sees in him a candidate for ministry. It's interesting. Paul writes 13 epistles. Unless you consider Hebrews is 14th. Paul writes 13 epistles. In 10 of those epistles, Paul refers to Timothy. Now, of course, two of the epistles are 1st and 2nd Timothy, so that seems obvious. But if you even get rid of those two, Paul is mentioned alongside, Paul mentions Timothy alongside of him at the introduction in 2 Corinthians 1:1, Philippians 1:1, Colossians 1:1, Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:1, and Philemon verse 1. Paul and Timothy. Now, if we had time to look at the book of Acts around chapter 16, Paul is going to pick up a replacement for Barnabas by the name of Silas, and Timothy is going to become a junior partner. But by the end of this association, Timothy is the man to whom Paul will turn over his apostolic ministry. That's the whole point of 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul is transitioning out of missionary leadership and he's passing the baton, as it were, to Timothy. Now, as I say, the lessons to be learned from Timothy's life are just, if pastor thinks the next 33 weeks are long, it'd take that long to look at Timothy's life. And I'm being a little facetious here, but Timothy is just one of these lives that is rich with lessons about Timothy's character, about Timothy's commitment, about Timothy's usefulness to Paul. Paul chooses him as his successor. His character seems obvious from what we've looked at. He has a godly heritage, I've mentioned of. He's well spoken of. If you look at Acts 15, verse 2, Timothy is well spoken of by these individuals in... Actually, I think that's 16, too. I think that's a mistake in my notes here. But he's well spoken of by these disciples. He's a good testimony. He's a good testimony. His faith is genuine. It's unhypocritical. And Paul calls him on a couple of occasions, my beloved and faithful child. 1 Corinthians 4:17. And 1 Timothy 1:2, my true child in the faith. Paul has deep affection for Timothy. He loves him dearly. Can you imagine being mentored by the Apostle Paul? What a privilege. Well, this is a flying over at 2,000 feet light look at the life of Timothy. As I say, we could work our way through the Timothy epistles and see a variety of lessons where Paul is talking to this young man who will follow him in ministry. The one lesson I want to draw out for our consideration tonight, given the demographics of our audience, is the importance of a parent and a grandparent in the future of our children and grandchildren. Don't ever discount your influence. Don't ever minimize your opportunity. Don't ever quit on trying to mold and shape your descendants. Timothy is an example of a young man who had a godly heritage. Wow. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Part of my problem as a young man in ministry is I had to unlearn a lot of the behavior of my parents. Every now and then, Joshua will call me Maggie. He knew my mother. She wasn't a very nice person. I didn't have a Lois or a Eunice. I had a Maggie. And Maggie was an unbeliever. Thankfully, I got to know Rebecca's mom and her grandmother, and they had some influence on me, but I didn't have this kind of influence in my life. In fact, my mother-in-law became more of an influence in my early days in ministry than almost anyone else. I didn't have a Lois and a Eunice, but by the grace of God, Simon and Isaac and Casper and Ada do. Inasmuch as Lucas and Kaylee and Ben and, I know, Jordan do. Sometimes we wonder, where's Pastor this week? And he's gone down to Faith. Part of the reason he goes is to invest in his grandkids. Gladly, we see him do that. Because even though his grandkids are David and Christie's responsibility, they're also carrying Nan's. And Carrie and Nan will never lose their duty to those grandkids. I don't know your other grandkids as well. I'm not leaving them out for any reason other than the fact that I don't know them. But that's a wonderful opportunity to invest in our grandkids. To try and pass on our faith to the next generation. What a wonderful testimony is the heritage of Timothy. May God give us the grace to pass on what he's given to us to those who follow. Now, I know some of you don't have grandkids, and I know that, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying to preach to those of us who do. But for those of us who don't, adopt some. Adopt some. I'm thankful for those who adopted me. Lord knows I could use all the help I could find when I was a kid. And there were people that talked in my life. Jeff! Don't do that! passing on the faith from generation to generation. What a wonderful testimony. Eunice and Lois. I started to say Caleb because I'm looking at Caleb. Lois and Eunice gave to the church because of their influence on Timothy. Father, thank you for your word tonight. May we think about how we can apply this to our lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen.